morning, everyone. A little guy called Bertie has arrived, son to Louisa and Chris, and brother to Alice, and grandson to Teresa and Vaughan. Despite the fact that the service sheet says that there is a book club this week, there actually isn't. And the next book club will be on the 17th of September, and it will be at the usual place at Katie's, Frost's. Jam jars are requested for marmalade and jam, and you can leave them in the vestry. Thank you. Empty jam jars. Clean, please. On the bank holiday, there will be a walk. That's the 26th of the 8th, 26th of this month. And if people want to go on that walk, they can meet at New Malden Station at 10:30 a.m. If you want other details, please see Georgina. And finally, on Wednesday the 4th of September at 11 a.m, here in room 3, there will be a bereavement coffee morning. If you want to come, please let Maggie know. Thank you. And Vaughan just has a word for us now.
Hello. Good morning. As you may have guessed, this is a none too subtle reminder of our KURC day out in Bognor in less than 3 weeks. Sign up, and there's quite a lot to look forward to. The lure of gentle but invigorating sea breezes, that itchy but rather thrilling feel of sand in your shoes, the promise of a bracing stroll along the esplanade, followed by a self-indulgent ice cream on the pier, ozone-scented fish and chips in their home environment, the irresistible temptation of jellied eels, winkles and candy floss, and so much more. You'll find all the practical details on the poster in the foyer, and Catherine Trewick would look forward to seeing you in her office on weekdays to sign up. And please do so and sign up for your friends as well. Please come along and help to make this a memorable KURC day out. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. On a different note, we now have Barclay card machines at KURC. We have one here in the sanctuary and one outside of my office. If anybody would like to pay their offering through using the Barclay card machine, I can show somebody how to do that during the week. I'm sure some of the elders will be shown how to use them, and it can be done that way. It gives you a little printout like in the shops, and if you gift aid, what we suggest you do is you write your name on the back of this, and that can go into the offering bag when it goes around, and then it can still be gift aided. Also, any kind of, I know Olive paid for her seaside trip that way, the tea bar, if you want to buy your coffee or tea that way, it's also available. Okay, thanks.
Children of the Most High God, let the Lord set fire to God's word within us. We join to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
We say the psalm. God presides in the heavenly council. We join to pray. Let us pray. We come to worship you. Burn away the distractions and help us to focus on you. You are the one who comes, and we don't understand you. If we were coming to establish a kingdom, there would be a great army and waving banners, but you give yourself on a cross. If we were coming to establish a kingdom, the first thing we would do would be to protect and defend ourselves. But you suffer. We give you thanks for all those who have gone before us in the faith. We give you thanks for the witness of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who know what suffering is. And we give you thanks that you never give up on us. Forgive us for those times when we give up on ourselves. Forgive us for those times when we give up on one another. Forgive us when we are caught up in the narrative of our times and forget to focus on you, Lord Jesus. For we know what it is to choose the easier option, to say or do nothing and regret the opportunities to share of you. We regret the compromises that we've made. Lord our God, rekindle our faith. And help us to go with renewed vigor the race that you have marked out for us. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father.
So as a way of introducing our theme, we'll just go through some challenges. Jesus said, "I've come to set the world on fire." What does that mean? Jesus said, "I've come to shake things up." What does that mean? "There's lots of suffering ahead of me until I finish all my work." What does that mean? "Not always." Oops. "Do you think I've come to bring peace?" What do you think that is? What do you think it is? A dove. The dove from above. "Do you think I've come to bring peace?" said Jesus. "Not always. Following me, Jesus, will be difficult and may divide people and set them against each other and split some people up. Some people don't agree." "You can see clouds in the sky, and you will know if it's nice and sunny and hot, like it was in Kalymnos, or if it's cloudy and rainy, as it is today outside. But if you don't look around and spot the important things, then it's not worthwhile. I've come to turn everything upside down." Turn everything inside out. Thanks be to God.
We join to sing. Be bold, be strong, actions. Rosemary, I'm counting on you for actions. Let's do what we get. In the time of Jeremiah, there were a round of people who were professional religious. That was how they earned their corn. And not surprisingly, the professional religious spoke a word that was bolstering of the establishment. Jeremiah, on the other hand, will not be a part of it. This passage was read to us by Rhiannon Bone.
Readings from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 to 29. I am a God who is everywhere and not in one place only. No one can hide where I cannot see him. Do you not know that I am everywhere in heaven and on earth? I know what those prophets have said who speak lies in my name and claim that I have given them my messages in their dreams. How much longer will these prophets mislead my people with the lies they have invented? They think that the dreams they tell will make my people forget me, just as their ancestors forgot me and turned to Baal. The prophet who has had a dream should say it is only a dream. But the prophet who has heard my message should proclaim that message faithfully. What good is straw compared with wheat? My message is like fire and like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to the Lord. And if you thought that passage was difficult to live with, that's only because you haven't heard this passage in Luke, which you have heard before. Diane Slater will read it to us.
49 to 56. Not peace, but division. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraints I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Thank you.
Amen. The question is, where did we get our picture of Jesus from? That insipid, very white, asexual character, the only redeeming feature of which is the fact he's got ginger hair. Where did it come from? Obviously, it came from the pictures in the Bible. And then we know we are in trouble. Because the pictures that are in the Bible are word pictures. And we do not use all of them. Because the passage, like the passage we've just read, doesn't fit in with that insipid, asexual character. Nor does the guy who makes a whip out of cords, nor the guy who is tortured to death, and the man who drips his blood over our nice, clean floors. It's easy in a society like ours to say all sorts of nonsense and defend them as truth. How else do you think that the whole issue of fake news has got hold? We, though, are people who are shaped not by some vague notion, but by the word of God interpreted in community, which is not the same as each one of us going home, picking up our Bible, getting a pin and sticking a pin in it, and then deciding that we will never again cut our fringe, because that text is there. We need a sweep of biblical truth, and we need to listen to others, and we need to read it, and we need to study it, and we need to listen to more than one person. Is it not amazing that people who consider a text to be holy continue to keep on spouting and haven't read it? How do we answer questions about truth if we don't study it? And the answer, well, I know what's in the Bible because I went to Sunday school when I was a child. It's not enough. But it is the basis of many Christians' discourse. And that is how the dodgy ginger guy is still in our heads. In the passage from Jeremiah, speaking what he believes to be God's word, criticizes the prophets who have led the people away from God on the basis of their dreams. It's like straw, says Jeremiah, as opposed to wheat. Wheat is a valuable food. God's word is like fire, which burns up the rubbish, and is like a hammer, which is sure and firm and needed for action. And we all know what a hammer is like. Sometimes people tell us things that we know are true. They say something because they are in a brave place and they love us, and they say things that we do not want to hear. It's like a hammer. If you keep drinking, smoking, eating, stressing like that, delete as applicable, you're going to die early. That's a hammer. And it's also true of the message that Jeremiah is delivering to the people. And we don't have to pause hard to think of the parallels in our own time. Jeremiah is telling the people that Babylon is going to destroy the nation. And not surprisingly, the king and the people round about him, the prophets are sucking up to him. They don't want to hear this message. But this is a quote from a guy called Brendan Breed. This passage, Jeremiah 23:23-29, issues a scathing denunciation to the state-sanctioned prophets who deliver a fake message designed to prop up a system that exploits the weak for the benefit of the powerful. The hyper-nationalistic assumptions of these prophets construct a false god who is consumed with the success of Davidic kings and seems to care little for ethics, let alone those outside the borders of Judah. This false god allows the royal system to ignore the big picture. And that, brothers and sisters, is why the Old Testament is worthy of study. Because if you replace Davidic kings with Her Majesty's government, you get a perfect match. Morality cast aside for the sake of political gain. The passage from Luke may appear to be a frightening picture of Jesus that we don't recognize. What happened to this guy with the turning the other cheek? What happened to him? This is Jesus who's calling for fire and calling for division. But if you have been cold, You know the benefit of fire. And if you've ever been with a group of people who are rushing off a cliff, heading off in the wrong direction, you know the benefit of division. What, you're all going over there? Well, lovely, but I'm not. The story of Moses, the burning bush, fire as a sign of the presence of God, division as a sign that some understand the truth and some do not yet. Jesus wants to strike a match that is the beginning of the fire of change. This is about Jesus, who wants sin extinguished from the world that God loves so much. He wants an end to greed, homelessness, hunger, the dispossession of the poor, the self-serving of the rich, which is what comes from the Jeremiah reading. He wants it over. He's not against peace, but he knows his message will be a message that will be divisive. And all of us who are followers of Jesus know, once we get over the shock of that reading, we know what Jesus is speaking about. We have family members, we have friends who are not Christians or people of any faith. We have people that we love who actually have foundations for their lives which are really very shallow. We love them, but we know they are wrong. And that division that Jesus speaks about is something that we live with all the time. But the way we deal with that is not by either denying our truth, that whole faith is a Sunday matter, it's a private hobby, or we do not help our cause by shouting it loudly and denying the contribution of others. Step forward, the extremist fundamentalist lobby. We live in times where we need to speak our truth in ways that people will actually pause and be curious enough to listen to us. We need to present our truth in ways that are congruent with the truth that we believe in. So that's respectful of people, listening to people, assuming that God loves them as well as God loves us. And it's not about coming to the point of having some sort of spiritual experience and then stopping. It's about sharing our truth with generosity and with love. It's about listening to others, and it's about trying to hear what God is speaking through them too. And that, in our cold, dry, dark society, would be a fire that would keep us all warm. And it is also a fire that we can invite other people to warm themselves as well. So let us be still, and then we will pray. Lord, help us to kindle the fire of the good news by discerning, interpreting, and applying without compromise your word to our lives. And help us to invite others that they too could warm themselves. At your love. Lord, we pray. Amen. So we join to sing, "By Faith We See the Hand of God." Join to pray. Let's pray. Let's hold up before God those for whom fire and division and violence are not metaphors, but their reality. our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, remembering before God the 29 Egyptian Christians, including children, who were killed in Egypt. Let's hold up before God those who hold on to their faith, even when somebody is pointing a gun at them and demanding that they recant. Let's hold up before God our brothers and sisters in Christ in North Korea, the most dangerous place in the world, so they say, to be a Christian. But also in North Nigeria, in Libya, and to remember that in the majority of countries in the world, our brothers and sisters in Christ are a persecuted minority. Lord, you care about those who are weak and those who are in need. And you do not just care about individuals, but you care about institutions and governments. So we hold up this country before you. We ask that you would empower judges around the world to uphold the law, to work with integrity to defend those in need, rather than what their current government is requiring of them. We pray for all those who feel that they cannot do their job because of the institution that they are a part of. We pray for those who are suffering stress and division in their lives. Pray for those families where there is broken family relationships. And we pray for those that we know and we love who do not know you, and those whose vision of you is distorted and small. And we pray for ourselves that we would be enabled to be effective witnesses for you, you who we believe to be a God of love and justice and peace and mercy. Lord, we pray. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. Lord, if the offering we have made this day is from the small change of our lives, from the edges of who we are. Forgive us. Rekindle within us our knowledge and our awareness that you are our God who loves the world, and we have our part to play in the telling of your story. So bless this money that it will be used through this church and our denomination for your work, Lord Jesus. Amen. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news.
Thank you.
So let us go from this place to witness faithfully, standing our ground with our eyes fixed securely on Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.